Turn to Psalm 143 this morning. Psalm 143. And what we're going to begin to look at in this particular teaching, part one, is something that I've entitled A Parasitic Drain. Parasitic Drain. Now, I want to define for you what a parasite is. A parasite is an organism that lives on or in another organism of another species, known as the host. And from this host, this parasite obtains its nutrients. Also, another usage of the word parasite is a person who receives support, advantage, or the like from another without giving any useful or proper return, one who lives on the hospitality of others. In Greece, the Greek word that we get our English word parasite from meant a person who receives free meals at the table of another. We would call him a mooch.
Freeloader.
Freeloader. Squatter. Right? An organism that grows, feeds, and is sheltered on or in a different organism while contributing nothing to the survival of its host. That's what a parasite is. The word parasitic means living in or on an organism, living in or on another host, usually causing it harm. The name of our teaching this morning is Parasitic Drain. The word drain means loss or diminishing, a gradual loss, withdrawing, or diminishing of something regard it as an important resource, such as a drain on your bank account. Or when we had a recent phone call and letter from the water company saying that we don't want you to do such and such with water because our reserves are low, they've been drained. The word drain means to use up or deplete something gradually, especially somebody's energy and resources by making constant demands on it. To use up and deplete something gradually, especially somebody's energy and resources by making constant demands on it. To leave someone feeling physically or emotionally, and I add it, and spiritually exhausted. Thus, a parasitic drain is something living in or on someone, gradually depleting their energy, resources, and their very life. Their very life. In an automobile, we have, in all automobiles, a battery. And you got a plus side and you got a negative side to a battery. There are your battery terminals. This battery feeds the car, and it goes through a series of circuits. And that's the way your automobile works. You put the key in, you turn it on, it draws the juice, and bingo, it works. Now, this battery does not produce the energy for the automobile. It's called a storage battery. The battery stores the energy for an automobile. What produces the energy for an automobile once the vehicle is running is called the alternator in most cases. The alternator will produce the energy and it will recharge the battery to 12 volts. Usually the alternator runs around 14.7, 14.4 when it's running. Now, in this system, you have a whole bunch of circuits. You have a whole bunch of controls, you have a whole bunch of accessories. Sometimes this alternator has a creature called a diode. If this diode would fail, what it would do is it would allow energy to seep out of the battery into the alternator, thus depleting the battery over a period of time. One of the ways you can check this is that if the car sits overnight, you come in the morning and you take your greasy little paw and you put it on the alternator. If the alternator is warm, you know there's a draw there. That's a backyard way of checking it. My favorite ways to do things. You can also hook a meter in series and watch the flow and et cetera, et cetera. But there's other ways. But when this is functioning right, your battery will last, your car will drive, and you'll be happy because you can go and get ice cream after fellowship. But if not, it won't start because it's draining. It makes a draw, and you just never know when it's going to fail you. This is what a parasitic drain is in an automobile. But in our life, a parasitic drain results to a gradual depleting of our energy, our resources, our very life. Now, what I like to do is that I like to expose several truths that you will find common in all parasitic drains with regards to life. All of these are common. And anyone who has experienced a drain in life, in their resources, in their health, in their mind, in their joy, these are all common. The first truth that I would like to set before you this morning is that every parasite, every single one, there's no exception to this, every parasite is an enemy. It's an enemy. There are no good parasites when it comes to the context of what we're talking about. It's an enemy. And its sole purpose is your destruction. That's its sole purpose. It is there to destroy you. The thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that which he sends does the same thing. You're in Psalm 143. In verse 3. And again, we're concerned with the great truth that every parasite is an enemy. Every parasite is an enemy. Psalm 143:3 says, "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He had made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead." Here I want you to observe three key points in this verse. Those three key points are: an enemy will persecute, will smite, and will cause you to dwell in darkness. The word persecute means to chase, to dog, to harass, or to follow closely behind. This is what an enemy does. He's always there to chase you down. He's always there to dog you. It's always a nagging harassment all the time, over and over and over again. It's a constant thing. And he's always following close behind so that you're never out of range, so that he can always strike. This is the work of an enemy. He's there to persecute. But the word says not only did the enemy persecute, he had smitten my life down to the ground. The word smite means to crush. It means to break. It means to squeeze. This is the activity of an enemy. And this is how you can notice the activity of an enemy, a foreigner in your life. If you feel harassed, if you feel dogged, if you feel chased, if you feel under pressure, squeezed, crushed down, broken. He had made me to dwell in darkness. The word dwell means to cause to abide, to make to sit, to cause to dwell. This, again, is the activity of an enemy. An enemy will chase you. He will crush you. He will squeeze you, break you down. And he will cause you to abide. And where does the word say that he causes you to abide?
Darkness.
In darkness. In a dark place. In a dark region. It says, as those who have been long dead. Who are those that have been long dead? A corpse. Exactly. This is where the enemy wants to place you. This is where you feel you have no life in your step. Have you ever felt yourself feeling that way? Just drained? You're alive, but you're not living with a purpose. You're not living with a drive and an enthusiasm that you once had. You're simply existing. And sometimes you can scratch your head and you can wonder and you can talk, but you want to know something? You just can't put your finger on what's going on. You just feel drained. You just feel exhausted. It's where you feel lifeless. No excitement. No joy. You always feel worn down. Does the Word of God mean as much to you now as it did when you first believed? These are questions you can ask yourself. Do you still chase your spouse around the house? Do you make time to play with your children and teach them the great truths of God's Word and of life? See? Or are other things demanding of your life, pulling out of your life, depleting your resources and your time from the important things of life? If they are, you got to start looking for a parasite. Do you still look forward to your time of prayer with God? Are you enthralled when you read His Word? Does it spur you to action, the reading of God's Word? Or do you read and pray out of a sense of guilt and duty? If you do, I'd be looking for a parasite. Does the gospel of Jesus Christ burn inside of you, impacting the way that you think, the way that you talk, and the way that you walk? Is it alive? Is it like Jeremiah says, it's inside of me, I cannot stop? If not, I'd be looking for a parasitic drain in your life. Something that's sucking the life out of you. Something that's sucking the life out of your relationship with God, with Christ, and with others. What is it that the enemy has that is depleting your best resources, your best time, your best fellowship from you, that when it comes time for God, for Christ, for your family, for others, you do not have time to give? What is it? And we're going to see from the scriptures, from God's Word, how the enemy works, how he tricks us, how he gets us on this treadmill and hangs a carrot in front of us. The New Jerusalem Bible translates Psalms 143:3. An enemy is in deadly pursuit, crushing me to the ground, forcing me to live in darkness like those long dead. Forcing me to live in darkness like those long dead. Do you ever feel that way? Do you feel that you're placed in an unredeemable state or position, that this is your life, this is where you're forced? And this is every time you try to get up, something's pushing you back down. And you just can't put your finger on it. Spiritual realities are like that. Because if you try to discern a spiritual reality by sense, knowledge, reasoning, you know what? It doesn't work. So the first thing that we want to know and learn is that every enemy, every parasite is an enemy. An enemy is a parasite. Every parasite is an enemy. And it only has one purpose, and that is your destruction. It will do you no good. Second truth about a parasite and a parasitic drain is that a parasite must conceal itself in order to gain entrance into your life. You see, if you got this ugly looking creature, good enough, and he comes up to you and says, I'm a parasite and I'm going to suck the life out of you, are you going to say, well, where would you like? Would you like my neck? Would you like my head? Would you like to go on my arm? How many of you, when a mosquito gets on your arm, sits there and wraps a little bib around his neck? Right? What do? You whack him, right? A parasite must conceal itself in order to gain entrance. So when they come, they can't let you know who or what they are or why they're there. Because if you knew that, nobody in their right mind is going to let them in, right? Sure, it's right. Look at Matthew chapter 7. So they have to cloak themselves. They have to conceal themselves. They have to present themselves as something else in order to gain access into your life. If not, you would be aware and chase it away. In Matthew 7, verse 15, Jesus Christ warns us and he says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening what? Wolves. The Lord warns us that not all things are as they appear. Not everything is as it seems. Here you have someone standing in front of you, maybe a wonderful believer, quote unquote, say all the right things, but their heart, intent, and motive may be right from the pit. And the Lord says, don't be stupid about this kind of stuff. Be sharp. And not only does he warn us, the Lord gives us the necessary tool to discern what is right and what's wrong. Then that's the Word of God. That's why we must know and learn the Word of God and apply it in our lives. Look at Luke chapter 12. And we're looking at the truth that a parasite must conceal itself in order to gain entrance into your life. Luke chapter 12, verse 39. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not suffered his house to be broken through. Something wants to gain entrance, they don't come up the door, knock on the door, and announce that I'm a thief, can I come in? No. You got to be alert. You got to be on watch. Because when men sleep, the enemy sows tares. That's what the scripture says, right? When men and when women sleep, that's when the enemy sows tares. So a parasite must conceal itself in order to gain entrance. The third truth I want to share with you this morning is that a parasite needs a door or a pathway into our lives. Needs a door or a pathway into our lives. Now, if you got a house, put some windows there, you put a front door there. Without these windows and without this door, you can't get in that house. What you got to understand about a parasite is that it needs a door into the house representing you, your body, your mind, your entire being. It needs a door or it needs a pathway to get in there. If this door is shut, if these windows are barred, all this parasite can do is hang around. And they will hang around. They'll attach themselves to the house. If you ever see mold or growth on your house, they'll still do that, but they're on the outside. See, that's why in the definition, I think it's interesting that the definition would say on or in the host. Because the spiritual reality of a spiritual parasite is that it will live on or it will live in the host. I taught you this in spiritual warfare level 2. The demons either work from without or from within. But if they're going to get in, they have to gain access. A parasite must have a doorway or a pathway into our lives. Look at Colossians chapter 8, chapter 2. That'd be a good one. There's not eight chapters in Colossians. Chapter 2, verse 8. But I'm going to read to you out of the New International Version. And I'm going to show you a doorway, a pathway that these parasites use, one of the doorways. There are many. I'm just going to show you a few. The New International Version of Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 reads, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." What's the goal of these people? They want to take you what? Captive. What do they use? Hollow and deceptive philosophy. The word philosophy is a school of thought, a particular system of thought or doctrine. Philosophy is a set of precepts, beliefs, principles underlying someone's practice or conduct. And the word warns here in Colossians, "See that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the basic principles of this world and not on Christ." What would be a pathway, a doorway here that philosophy would use to try to take people captive through deceptive and hollow thoughts? Homosexual marriage. Yeah. There's a lot of them. But take homosexual marriage. Homosexual marriage depends on the traditions and basic principles on this world, of this world, and not on Christ. So what people do is they take the homosexual card and they play it, and they want to captivate people. They want to bring people over to their way of thinking through hollow and deceptive schools of thought. And if you read that chapter and verse, I give you several of them and how they take well-meaning good people and they present this twisted logic and they get the well-meaning good people to feel bad for them. And before you know it, they start to support their cause. Look at Romans chapter 16. This is one pathway that a parasite will take to enter into your life. You buy into the lie that homosexual marriage is good. You buy into the lie that it's violating their civil rights. You buy into the lie that it's just as good as a regular marriage. You open the door. You open the door for these things to come into your life. And once they come into your life, into your house, you know what they'll do there? They'll set up house there. They'll make themselves comfortable. When Goldilocks went into the Three Little Bears' house, she didn't go in there and start cleaning the house. When she went into the Three Bears' house, she ate, and then she what? She set up house. She's going to dwell there for a while. She took advantage of that which the house had to offer. In Romans 16, in verse 17, and we're looking now at pathways or doorways that a parasite needs to get in and to set up shop into your life. Romans 16, 17, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." Verse 17. "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." It says, I beseech you, brethren, to mark them which cause divisions. The word cause means to make something out of nothing. Doesn't say that they teach division and that the problem is coming from their teaching directly against what the doctrine is. It says that they cause division. There's a great difference. See, if I teach you that God is love and some church over here teaches that God hates, I'm teaching. Now, there's going to be a division coming from that. Either you're going to believe the truth or you're going to believe a lie. But it doesn't say that here in Romans. It says to mark them which cause division, which make something out of nothing. You understand? They take something and it's not there. But in their mind, it's there. And in their mind, now they're going to build a mountain out of an anthill. Right? The Word of God teaches us to mark them. It says they don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They serve themselves. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. Your school of thought, the books that you read, the people that you associate with, may be a door that the enemy uses in your life to get into your life. See? The enemy needs a doorway. It may come through the way you think. If you think it's okay to lie, then the enemy's already got a foothold. If you think it's okay to be a married person and commit adultery on your spouse, then the enemy has a doorway into your life. If you think it's okay to steal, then the enemy has a doorway into your life. If you read in a book that it's okay to explore sexual relations with the same sex, then the enemy has a doorway into your life. It's that book. See? Or if the people that you hang out with always getting high or always doing this, then the enemy has a doorway into your life. And he's going to go like this. And sooner or later, you know what you're going to do? You're going to answer the door. Right? Once you open the door, guess what? You allow stuff to come in. These are pathways. These are doorways that the enemy comes at you. You have to recognize it. That doesn't mean all people are bad. Doesn't mean that your school of thought is bad. Doesn't mean that the books you read are bad. I'm simply trying to show you that they can be. And if they are, be aware of what you're doing, because the enemy may be using this as a road into your life. What about your computer? Computer can be a great thing. I use my computer every time I put a teaching together. I can probably tell you that. And it could be a wonderful thing. But what if it's that which is coming by way of your computer into your life is not doing you good? What if a parasite gets to you through the computer? You see, that's a pathway. What about TV? TVs can be fun, but what if you're watching stuff on TV, different things that you shouldn't be watching? That could be a pathway to influence the way you think, the way you act. Boy, if I had a quarter for every time I heard a TV or a movie phrase repeated. Now, that may be harmless, but it illustrates a great point that it makes an indentation on a person's mind and they may repeat it. What about the habits you choose to engage in? If the habits you choose to engage in are doors or pathways for these things into your life, you got to learn to recognize them. What about laziness? You know, if you're too lazy, you're just hanging around all the time, you get bored, and you know what happens? Usually you get in trouble. You got to occupy your mind with good things, which leads me to my next point. What about overworking? You can't be lazy, but you can't go the other extent either. You overwork. Always work, 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 and then when the day's over, you're depleted. The life is sucked out of you, the goodness, the energy, that which you should give to your wife and family, or that which you should give to your husband and family is sucked out of you. You have no time. for your children. You have no time for the weightier things of life, love, family night, friends, sitting down, reading a verse together. This could be a pathway the adversary uses to gain access into your life. What about your anger? Do you think that just because you can be angry and you can yell, you can always be in control of the situation? If you think that way, the adversary will use that anger in your life to control you. It'll be a drain on you. There's times to be angry, okay? But to be perpetually angry is not good, not for anybody. What about pride? Is your pride the door that the enemy uses to gain access to your life, to attach these things? And these things we saw, they're never good. All they do is they suck the life out of you. They suck your resources. They suck your energy. And then when your wife and your husband and your children and your fellowship, your church and your God, first and foremost, and your Christ should be getting the best of the best, the best of the offerings you have to give, by the time it comes around to God, to Christ, to your wife, to your family, to etc., you got a penny to throw to them, or you're too tired, or you're too drained, or you're too worn. But your habit drew it out of you. You see? Your entertainment drew it out of you. It gave all the best to that. But when it comes down to the one who gave you life, you're drawn. Why is that? Could it be that it is a maniacal, well thought through, deceptive process with an intelligent evil behind this who would formulate such obstacles and cloak them and shroud them in darkness? Could it be that there is one that smart that would do whatever he needs to do to get you away from your God, your Christ? How about your emotions? Are your emotions a pathway for these parasites to come in and latch on into your life? Are you a bleeding heart who is sympathetic with the homosexual cause? The homosexual cause, by the way, is not the homosexual cause. It is the devil's cause, just so you know. And the homosexual cause is not about having a man marry a man or live together with a man or a woman. The homosexual cause is about getting the devil's will done in America so that the devil can weaken America, so that the devil can now train America the way he wants to train them, so that America will eventually become destroyed. And unless good men and women who stand on the word do something, it's going to happen faster than it should. But we are still responsible to steward. We are still responsible to answer to God for what we do. We are still responsible to speak the truth. That the redeemed of the Lord, what?
Say so,
whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the what?
Enemy.
The enemy. Your emotions, just because you get hurt, just because you get ticked off, just because you whatever, you can't let your emotions rule you. You cannot respond because of your emotions. That is not the proper way to respond to situations, right? I have really, you know, a really, really, really bad day at work. I have to learn how to leave my day at work. Now, I don't always do that. Most of the time I do, because I've been doing it for so many years, I've learned how to handle it. But if it's, I don't have the right to yell at my family because I have a bad day at work, right? I don't. When I come home, I have the right to yell at my family at work when they don't do their work. No, I have a right. I don't have a right to yell at my family. I don't have a right to take out on my family because I had a bad day. Now, sometimes the family needs to understand that daddy needs to be left alone. The wife should recognize the husband's condition when he walks in the door and should teach the children accordingly. My wife would recognize my condition when I walked in the door. Sometimes she would say to the children, daddy needs to be with mommy just for a minute so we can talk. and then it'd be fine. Or she would let me go lay down or whatever. I don't know how it works between you and your spouse. However you guys figure it out, that's your business. There's not a right or a wrong way. You got to figure out each other. Sometimes it's a joke. Sometimes it's let me walk some. I don't know. Everybody's different. The point is not what you do, but that you do it. And you figure it out. You see? Emotions. You can't let your emotions be a road for the adversary to come in your life so that you can respond any way you want and you think it's right. See, just because you feel that way or because this was done to you doesn't mean that you respond that way. If Jesus Christ did that, where would we be? Right? And by the way, it says that we're to follow what? In his steps, not our steps. So, a parasite will use the this door, whether it's anger, habits, TV, computer, whatever, to get in. And once it gets in, it'll set up shop. It just won't get in, look around, and leave. It'll say, well, I think I'm going to hang out here for a while. And then once it starts to hang out for a while, it's going to start draining you. It's going to start draining you. You ever see a tick? You all seen ticks, right? What happens when a tick gets on an animal or gets on you? Gets fat, sucks the blood out of you, right? It starts to get nourished, and if sometimes you can get a disease from a tick. It starts to harm you, right? That's what these parasites are there for. Now, here's one of the tricks that the devil uses. The devil says to you, you have the right to be angry. But that anger is only destroying you. See, he gets you to believe you have a right to be angry. That is the lie that you're going to see next. And in believing that lie that you have the right to be angry, that anger is of a parasitic nature because it comes from the enemy. And the enemy is parasitic by nature. So that very anger that you harbor and feel you have the right to is the very thing that is eating you up, sucking the life out of you, so you don't have that which is good to give to that who deserves it. Understand? A parasite needs a door or a pathway into our lives. And the fourth truth I'm going to teach you this morning with regards to this subject is that at the root of every parasite is a lie. Every single one. Everything that I've mentioned thus far, you will find common in every parasite. At the root of every parasite is a lie. You must believe in a lie in order for that parasite to put its roots down in your life. You got to believe in that lie. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. By sheer logic, if it is the truth that will make you free, a lie will cause what? Bondage, captivity. In the believing and the doing of the truth, freedom will be produced. It will be a byproduct in your life. But in the believing and the doing, the acting of a lie, captivity, bondage will be the byproduct in your life. If you believe that your anger is the only way to control a situation, you'll always be angry. What about your mind? You have to depend on your mind all the time. You always need to be one up on everybody to feel secure in your life, that you got to know everything about everything, and that you got to have the last word about everything. Because until I do, I don't feel secure. Have you over-educated yourself into non-obedience to God? That's what people do. They get so smart, they don't think they have to have simple obedience anymore. They read and read and read, and then they just realize that they're reading for knowledge. They're reading for wisdom. They're reading just so that they can play Trivia Pursuit and win. And they don't obey God anymore. How about the way you dress? Do you believe the lie that your dress defines you? Or the lie, dress for success? You've got to be dressed a certain way to earn a certain people's respect. That tells you how shallow those people are. Now, I'm not talking about dressing inappropriately when it's a black tie affair. You don't go in shorts. I understand that. But if your dress defines you, if you got to have the best clothes, the best shoes, the best fashions, because without it, you're nothing. You want to know something? You have a small opinion of yourself. Because dress does not make or break an individual. What about the car you drive? You got to have the fastest, the biggest, the best car so that everybody knows that you're there. See? If you believe that lie, then the adversary has a pathway into your life. What about your bank account? Do you need to have such and such in your bank account to define that you're a success? What's the Bible say? If we have food to eat and our health and a roof over our head, therewith there should a man be what?
Content.
You got to believe a lie in order for a parasite to put its roots down. And once it gets its roots down and into you, it'll drive you in that lie. What about your job? Do you think your job is your salvation? Do you believe that lie? You give so much to it that you don't have time for God? I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is your salvation. Not your job. Not my job. Not my bank account. Not the way I dress and not the car I drive. Praise God for that. Right? We got to work. I understand that. But don't get things all out of place. Because if you do, the adversary will drive you in that lie. He will attach to you. And your resources, your energy will be devoted strictly to that car, to that bank account, to the getting of wealth, to that job. And then when you're done at the end of the day, you have nothing to give to anything that's of any importance. You have nothing to give to your God, to your Christ, to your family, to the fellowship, to one another. See? He's got to get you to believe the lie. If he can get you to believe the lie, then you will wholeheartedly embrace the lie and pursue the lie and give yourself foolishly to that lie. And if he can get you to believe the lie and cover it with you're doing this because of a good reason or you're doing this because of a Bible verse, then it's all the more harder to root it out of you. Because you can justify your actions by a Bible verse, or you can justify your actions because of a good reason. But see, truth is bigger than a good reason. Jesus Christ didn't come, said that we would be in bondage. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. Satan is a creature of darkness by his own choice. He chooses to dwell in darkness, out of sight. Look at John chapter 8. Verse 44 reads, "Ye are your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." John 8:44. If the devil can get you to believe a lie, he can successfully hide that darkness in your life. God's word is light. The very nature of God is light. Satan is darkness. Psalm 119 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." John 3, verse 19 through 21 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You hide things in darkness. And that's why people like darkness, because the light exposes the evil in their life. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you believe a lie, you're going to bury yourself. And the further that you go with this lie, and the more that you give to this lie that the adversary has gotten you to hook onto and to believe, the weaker you will get. It'll drain the life out of you. You'll have plenty of time and energy to perform the lie that you believe. But when it comes to the important things of life, you'll be depleted. You'll scratch your head and you'll say, what's going on? I'm spent. Because the adversary has been able to introduce darkness into your life. And in that area of darkness that he has introduced into your life, he then is able to hide. He has to put darkness there, the lie, whatever it is you believe. Then he's able to hide, for instance, of a young girl or an old girl, for that matter. If they believe the lie that they have to have sex in order for a boy to like them, okay? And if they harbor that lie that you got to let me touch you, you got to have sex with me if you want to be my girlfriend, you know what they'll do? They'll act on that lie. They allow that darkness to come into their life. Then you know what they find themselves doing? They find themselves having sex with every boy that they go out with and that they like. You know why? Because they don't want to lose the boy. Because they believe the lie that if I give them sex, if I give him sex, he'll stay. And I'll be in love. And there'll be stars and little birds flying around. It'll be all wonderful. But you know what happens? Once you do that, you call him the next day, and you know what the phone says? This number has been disconnected. And then you know what happens? You get a broken heart. And you learn. Or you say, well, whatever, I'll give to this one, and I'll do this. And then you sell yourself. Why? Because, and then your whole life, you believe this is all you have to offer to a boy or to a man. And your whole relationship is built on that. See the lie? And these are lies that drive people to act and to do things that they do in life. If you believe that you can never reconcile something, you'll never talk to that individual. If you believe that that person is a giant ASS hole, that's a nice way to put it, you'll never endeavor to correct things with that person. That person might be the nicest person in the face of the earth. But if you believe differently, you won't even talk to them. These are the lies that the adversary uses. He entraps us with it, and then he keeps us in darkness with it. And once we're in darkness, he's able to move around in darkness, and he's able to facilitate what he needs to do to ruin our life. So at the root of every parasite is a lie. So what have we learned so far? We saw that a parasitic drain is something living in or on someone, gradually depleting their energy, their resources, their very life. We saw that every parasite is an enemy, and its sole purpose is to destroy. And we looked at three goals of an enemy. We saw that an enemy will persecute, an enemy will smite, and an enemy will cause you to dwell in darkness. Are you dwelling in darkness? Are you hiding from God? You need to come out of there. You need the light of God to shine on you, and you need to get healed. But if you're dwelling in darkness, if you're being caused to dwell there, you might have to look deeper. Something's there making you sick. Something's there making you stay there. A parasite will conceal itself to gain entrance. They can hide in a habit, a hobby, a relationship, in your theology, in your job, in your goals, and they will distract you from the things of God, first and foremost. Number three, a parasite needs a door or a pathway into our lives. It could be through your school of thought, through the books you read, through the people you associate with. Any of these and more can be the door that the enemy uses to get in. Remember, we used the example of homosexual marriage through philosophy, getting you to think this way, and then the enemy's able to get in. It could be your computer. It could be the TV, the habits, the laziness, or your overworking. These are all pathways that the adversary uses to gain access to your life. It could be your pride, your anger, or your emotions. Then the fourth thing we learned about a parasite is that at the root of every parasite is a lie. A parasite has to be based on a lie for it to put its roots down. You must believe the lie. If the adversary comes to you and you're a young girl and he speaks in your ear by way of the blue-eyed, sandy, blonde boy saying, you have to have sex with me in order for me to stay with you, and if you say, they can't see that on the tape, right? You don't believe the lie. Then you know what you do? Smack them. Then you know what you do? Call your brothers and your daddy. They smack them. Shoot them. With buckshot. And they get the dog, right? And you're happy and you're having fun and you're laughing if you do that. But if you go the other route, you believe the lie, then you got nothing but darkness, right? You don't do that. You got to believe the lie. If you refuse the lie, it stops there. There's no problem. If you believe the lie, then we got some work to do because we got to root out the lie. We got to replace the lie with the truth. We got to rebuild the word in you. We got to be able to say, thus saith the Lord, the word, etc., etc. The easiest thing to do is to keep the door shut. They come with the dump truck with poop, horse poop, five-day-old horse poop, and they say, could I dump this in your living room? The best thing for you to say is, no, thank you. You can be polite. You say, no, thank you. You don't say, oh, sure, come on in. Can I help you shovel it? And they dump this in your living room and on your couch, and then they leave. They leave you a bill for dumping fees. Now, who's got the job of cleaning up the poop in your house? And the residual problems, the smell, the flies, and everything else, and all the damage that you do, why don't you just keep the door shut? But you got to believe the lie when they say, well, it's not really horse poop. It just looks like horse poop. You say, it smells like, no, it smells like horse, but it's not really horse poop. It's disinfectant poop. They got to lie. Keep the door shut. At the root of every parasite is a lie. Satan is a creature of darkness by his own choice. He chooses to dwell in darkness out of sight. And if he can get you to believe in a lie, he can successfully hide himself in that lie in your mind, which is darkness in your life. And if you have darkness in your life, you have given him a foothold. You have given him a place of operation from whence he can then launch his attack from the inside of you against you. And it's just going to drain the life out of you. We'll continue to look at this subject when we get together Thursday for part two of this teaching, and I'll show you some more truths with regards to how a parasite works and how it sucks the life out of you. Then I'm going to show you how we can reveal these parasites in your life and how that you can remove them by the Word of God, and that you can then get back to being normal again without any bugs or ticks on you, okay? Let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. Thanks that we can recognize the attack, Father. We're grateful for revealing these truths to us and that we can take positive, affirmative action on it according to your word so that we can be the blessed people you've called us to be and not the hounds full of ticks that some of us are. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.